everybody. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Hillary Ramo, your host right here on Achieve Radio. Tonight I'm going to be talking to Michael Horn. He has been researching the Billy Meyer UFO contacts for over 25 years and is now the authorized representative for the book on the Meyer case called And Yet They Fly. Although he has long been fascinated with the amazing films, photos, and other physical evidence, Michael's main focus since 1988 has been on Meyer's prophetic, accurate, scientific, and world event-related information, published from 1 to more than 25 years in advance of terrestrial discovery or occurrence. Because of the abundance and impeccable accuracy of Meyer's material and the failure of professional skeptics and debunkers to duplicate any of his hard evidence, Michael has concluded that his credibility is unequal to any other source, past or present. We're going to be talking about that tonight, talking about events, prophecy, fortune telling, that kind of thing, having some kind of communication with off-world life forms, or even on-world life forms, how that works, telepathy, all kinds of interesting topics, and I'm looking forward to Michael's input into a lot of those, a variety of different combinations of things. One of the reasons I wanted to do this show was there was a lot of reasons why I wanted to have this show tonight. One of them is when I first came across the Billy Meyer case, I was, you know, looking through it, researching it. I had had a lot of UFO contacts, researchers on the show, and I had found my way to his case. And one of the things that I came away from with the material that really struck me very, very deeply was Marcel Vogel's work, who was associated with Billy Meyer, and he created the Vogel crystal. And in fact, he worked for IBM. Marcel Vogel has a long history. He's no longer alive. He passed away in 1991. He was a research scientist working at the IBM San Jose Research Center for 27 years, and he is sometimes referred to as Dr. Vogel, although this title was based on an honorary degree, not a PhD. But he also was a researcher into occult theories of quartz crystals and other esoteric fields of study. The Vogel crystal type cut was in fact created by him. He was the original founder of that cut. And as I was researching and reading through his material, and I had actually had one made for myself and got some of the CDs and looked further into his work, he claimed that the Vogel crystal type cut was given to him, was like in fact Pleiadian technology. So we're going to be talking about the Pleiades. I am very excited about getting Michael on the line here to be able to share some of the insights, give us some background on the Meyer case. I know a lot of people, I've been contacted by people, you know, all over once I started to promote this show, that, you know, there's a lot of debunking, a lot of things that have come up for people that say that this was nonsense or it wasn't true or it was faked. But we're gonna find the facts from the fiction tonight, and we're going to talk about a lot of different things. So I'm excited that Michael is here. I was very happy to hear from him and get him on the show, and glad that he agreed to spend some time with us. We are live tonight if you'd like to call in with some questions, or if you'd like to send in quick questions if being on the air is not your thing. We would be happy to take your questions, comments, and anything in between. So without further ado, thank you, Michael, for being here. Welcome.
Hi, Hillary. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity, and especially to answer questions, challenges regarding the authenticity of the Meyer case, which I, of course, understand quite well, has many different points of view expressed about it by many different people. So all questions are fair game as far as I'm concerned.
Excellent. Well, that's good to know. So, Michael, why don't we just give listeners a quick, brief background into the Meyer case? How can we sum it up just to get everybody kind of caught up to speed in what exactly we're talking about tonight?
Sure. Billy Edward Albert Meyer is a 76-year-old Swiss man who lives up in a nice little remote part of Switzerland, about 45 minutes, let's say, southeast or so of Zurich. He claims that, pardon me, since he was about 5 years old, that he's been having voluntary, wide-awake, face-to-face contacts in person, as well as some telepathic, but mainly in person, with human beings formerly called the Pleiadians from 1975, when he was asked to use that term for a certain reason, and who are actually known as the Pleiaren people, with a J rather than a Y. These people come from a place that is actually past the Pleiades that we see in the night sky. There is no life whatsoever in the pleadings that we see. Billy Edward Meyer, just Billy from here on, was taking his first photographs of up to eight of the craft in 1964 in India, when he was on some of his travels around through 42 different countries, hitchhiking, working his way around the world, studying different religions and philosophies and what have you to become familiar with them. These photographs are quite remarkable. They were taken with a 1940s Kodak Bellows camera, totally not special effects type equipment, and taken in the middle of nowhere outside of New Delhi in Murali, India. In 1975, after he had lost his left arm, he, from that point on, became even more prolific, presenting well over 1,200 clear daytime, as well as some nighttime, photos of up to four of the craft, and eight films survived, a video, metal samples that were analyzed at IBM, four different occasions of sound recordings that were deemed to be irreproducible by top-flight recording studios, including the Naval Undersea Labs in Connecticut. All of this while the man was also renovating a rundown farmhouse, raising a family with three children, on partial disability, working as a night watchman, going on these photo ops, meeting with the alleged, if you will, extraterrestrials, and with one hand typing out the then transmitted back to him conversations that now number close to 600, and publishing these as of 1975. And that's, you know, the time to take the breath so you can have questions or something in there.
Actually, this is very good because I think there's a lot of people who are still very unaware of the amazing story that he does have, and that, you know, what his information is. And, you know, unless they really know and they have looked into it, they're really not going to know what it is, and they're going to go, Billy who? So this is good, and it's important for people to hear this background. Well, thank you very much for getting into that. So what can you just give us also a little introduction into yourself and how you got involved with being the official representative of this case?
Sure. In 1979, I walked into a bookstore in the Hollywood, perhaps, area of Los Angeles. The bookstore was called the Bodhi Tree. It was a quote-unquote metaphysical bookstore. The first thing that caught my eye on that particular occasion was a coffee table sized book, a nice sized photo book, of the clearest, most remarkable photographs of UFOs I had ever seen, and with other information in there about the man who took the photos, the investigators, and other things. And I looked at those photos and I said, those are real. And of course, I haven't changed my opinion to this day, but I have a lot more to go on in terms of really, you know, scientific information, what have you. I bought the book. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's excellent. And I just want to let our listeners know that they can also check out your website, theyfly.com, at any point while they're listening. If you happen to be listening online and you have a computer next to you or an iPhone, you can go ahead and go to theyfly.com and you can research and kind of look around as you're listening. So please continue.
Sure. I was, you know, reading and looking at this book for a while. More occurred pertinent to the case until 1986. I was in a little cafe in Sedona, Arizona, the mecca of so-called New Age crystal consciousness at the time. I was there with my young daughter and a lady that I knew. We were in something I think was called Sunflower Cafe on 89A, and we were the only people there with the exception of one other guy at the distant end of the restaurant. We were sitting through the interminable wait for the archetypical avocado and sprouts sandwich on whole grain bread. They were probably growing both the sprouts and the avocado. It took a long time. And we called over this other fellow to join us and socialize. Turns out the conversation, you know, went in the direction of the UFOs, and then Billy Meyer came up and he asked me if I'd read what were called at the time the contact notes. I didn't know anything about it. He said, look, since he lived in the L.A. area as well, he said, when you come back to L.A., give me a call, come up to Decker Canyon. I've got 1,800 pages for you. I got back. I called him. I went up there. He had the 1,800 pages. He had everything that Meyer had ever, you know, posters and books and what have you. And I got those 1,800 pages, and they weren't the clearest in terms of syntax in the translation from German to English. They were structured more like German than English, but they were fascinating to read, and I was up for days and nights and weeks and months just inhaling this stuff. Nothing more happened until 2 years later, in 1988, when I opened a local newspaper and saw an article reproduced that was an announcement about A-bomb testing tied to ozone damage, a new report from the famous Livermore National Laboratories in California. As I started to read that article, I was wondering why I already and the percentages of damage, etc., they were talking about. A little light went off. I reached under the bed, pulled out the first 100-page block from 1975, and lo and behold, therein, Billy Meyer is being told about the A-bomb ozone damage connection. He's being encouraged to contact a Professor Michael McElroy from Harvard and by the alleged extraterrestrial woman, Semyaze. And as I read again through further pages in there, he was told more information about this damage, how it affects the because of the holes that are put into the ozone by atomic testing and explosions, electrical frequencies that we know nothing about that allow that rend holes in the ozone and allow the ultraviolet light to come through and disrupt the food chain, and a lot of other information, which I then saw in subsequent articles. Another article jumped out at me a couple years later when a professor from Stanford in California said earthquakes oil interact, meaning that the extraction of oil and gases from the earth precipitate earthquakes, as Meyer had been told decades before in 1976. These types of events got me to realize, now that I can come up for a breath, that it's more about far more than great UFO photos that we had suddenly in my little hands. I am reading something of far greater significance. This is quite real. This so-called simple one-armed so-called Swiss farmer is publishing scientific information decades before we are making the new official discoveries. What's going on? That only has increased exponentially since that time. We've documented probably somewhere around 150 specific scientifically accurate, prophetic pieces of information published anywhere from a few months to literally 60 years before the so-called new discoveries are made. I have a blog where I generally refer, I don't even bother putting it on the website. I have this other blog where okay, here's another one that was just corroborated. The new UN report about human activity from the 50s responsible for climate change and global warming. Meyer wrote that, published it. He was 14 in 1951. He mentioned climate change in 51, and then he mentioned the global warming in 58. In 64, he tied it all together and expressly spoke about what the consequences would be in terms of weather, storms, hurricanes, typhoons, floods, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, changes in the sea current. I'm shotgunning this out because, as per your introduction, you would think, and I will make this statement, Billy Meyer is the only actual contactee person with any extraterrestrial race going on, still ongoing, for over 70 years right here and now. Nobody else that makes these wild claims of being a contactee with all this stuff, nobody can put the evidence on the table. Meyer's evidence is so overwhelming, you would think that it would be the biggest news item in history. But people have been so overly entertained with the imaginary UFO alien abduction industry of utter nonsense. That's not to say that some people aren't having negative experiences, but they're not coming from extraterrestrials. Now, I'm throwing a lot of things in here quickly because I know you've raised some points, and I know people are understandably skeptical when what they get when they, put Billy Meyer in a search engine is all this debunking attempts from skeptics that I have already cleaned the floor with every major professional skeptic internationally. I started taking them on 12 years ago out of defense for this nice little Swiss guy that I met in 2000. And as for the question, in 2004, after the fourth or fifth year of visiting there, I asked them in Switzerland if I could represent them and do it voluntarily. They don't pay me. I don't pay them. I just will try to really just get the info straight the way they publish it and put it out there. And that means sometimes there's errors and things that have to be corrected, but very small. And they said, yeah, go for it. Now I'm in my second seven-year cycle. I should also mention, of course, this may be apparent to you and the audience, that I'm also in a seven-year vow of silence. This is 3 years, 14 weeks, and 6 days of complete silence that I've been able to maintain. And those of you that hear me are hearing me, of course, psychically and telepathically. Thank you.
Well, you know, I appreciate you giving it all out like that, because we're ready for it. It wouldn't have come out like that if we weren't ready for it. So I'm glad we could all hear that. You know, so basically what you're saying is that he was able to record these events back when he was doing it. And now, as you see the headlines pop up or events happen, you're matching with what he was saying back then to the events that are happening now. Yes.
Yes, and interesting, I'll give you an encapsulation. I'll really try to make it a little shorter. I was at a MUFON event just at a product table. They didn't have me speaking for good reason. MUFON goes out of business once they acknowledge the Meyer case, because they're just chasing lice in the sky. So I'm at my little product table, and a crusty guy comes over, kind of late middle age. He's looking at me really funny, and he starts talking about the Meyer case in less than glowing terms. And I said, okay, what do you do, sir? And he said, well, I'm a retired judge. And I said, well, Your Honor, could I step in your courtroom for just a minute? Yes, you may. You know, he's a good-natured guy. But, you know, very one of these kind of eagle-eyed guys is looking down at you. He's not going to cut any slack. I said, great. I love these opportunities. So I said, okay, so, Your Honor, if I come here in your courtroom and I say, NASA's claim that they are the first to discover that the core of the planet Mercury is responsible for the contraction of the surface of the planet, and I say, no, they're not. My little friend in Switzerland is the first person to ever prove that. I have to prove that to you, sir? And he said to me, well, of course you would. So I reach over and I say, so if I open this book that has this copyright date, and I fan the pages here to a place where we have another copyright on a conversation 30 years before our NASA claim, and this man, Billy Meyer, asked this woman, Semyaze, what's responsible for the contraction of the surface of Mercury? And she says, it's due to the metal core of the planet. I said, Your Honor, who wins in your courtroom? He said, you do. And from there, the conversation got interesting. So here's the whole secret to this. You're never going to prove extraterrestriality, basically, with photos and films and all, even though Meyer has got the most stunning stuff ever taken. People will always say, well, even though it's been tested, even though the brand new photo analysis that's up on our site of photos he took 22, 23 years ago have just been analyzed by a professor with expertise in imaging and 3D modeling, and he says, gosh, these are real objects. They're like, you know, 20 feet in diameter. The guy's standing 20 feet away from him. There's 63 photos. These are not modeled. Even though you'll have that, people are still going to say, well, I don't believe it. So here's how clever the play Aaron were. The proof of the Meyer case takes about 5 minutes, or less, as it did with the judge, because the Pleiaren used our own internationally respected, very terrestrial mechanism, our legal standard of proof of prior publication, i.e., copyrights. It's in books and documents that we can verify, even online, published by Meyer before the official discovery is made. That closes the book on skepticism and people arguing about photos. All of the arguing about photos was a deliberate mechanism to provoke controversy so people will start to think about their place in the universe. Something bigger might be happening, and gosh, somebody would like to help us help ourselves to assure our own future survival. That's the name of the game with the Meyer case.
Very interesting. Well, you know, what would make most people might just say, well, maybe he was psychic or maybe he was just channeling something. You know, what makes it, why does it have to be a physical extraterrestrial experience? So do you find that that is where most of the skepticism comes from?
Well, no, because the skeptics, of course, don't believe in channeling and psychism and all that. Let's also throw into the mix, just to be clear, Meyer has something like six categories of still irreproducible physical evidence. No psychic or channel can even come close. Not only that, there are over 100 witnesses, many of whom witnessed multiple sightings, five or six other photographers, many witnesses who were together when they sighted a ship. And it goes on and on, and you don't get, you know, Meyer's been the target of 22 attempts in his life. He's not just a lucky guesser. I've been within 20 feet of a small monitoring craft of the Pleiaren. That doesn't make me a contactee. I'm not, even though I also was forwarded a direct document from them warning me about a trap that I was about to walk into that even Meyer didn't know about, advising me to not proceed with a certain business project with somebody that was being quite a wolf in sheep's clothing, and it turned out to be 100% accurate. Those are anecdotal, and they are more, I've been closer to a craft than any of the people that claim to be contactees or anything else. But that's not important, because what's important is, what is this information? What does it mean to us? And once we know, what are we going to do about it? It takes this whole paradigm to a very different level.
Absolutely. Where do we find Billy Meyer's stuff? Is it on your website? If somebody's listening and says, I really want to read what he's written, where do we find it?
Yes. Okay, you're going to find a ton of free information on my site, They Fly, on sites linked from it, one of which has a couple hundred different contact conversations listed for free. My blog, as I mentioned, They Fly blog, which is linked from my site. And I'll do my one little pitch here, because you've given me this time, and if your listeners are interested, let me say this. Last year, about this time, we put out a film called As the Time Fulfills. We interviewed Meyer, we translated into English, and in that film we have a 22-minute segment, over 50 specific examples of, at that time, of the 150 corroborated scientifically accurate things, one after another. I mean, you'll have to stop the thing and go get popcorn if you want to watch it. But, you know, I mean, really, I overloaded, so people go, okay, really, you want to prove this to me? Okay, here it is. And we have in there so much good stuff, including Meyer telling some things that happened after the film came out. So he's speaking about his prophetic information there. It really, it's like it was kind of a home movie enthusiasm to get everything in the kitchen sink. So here's the deal. Your listeners, if they want it, if they buy my little DVD, I give them a complete professionally produced additional 90-minute DVD on top of it, full free. They just have to use your name or mention your show or something. And that's my only pitch, because everything I do voluntarily here. So if somebody gets a film that I made that I paid to produce good, I can keep on pumping. Nonetheless, all the other stuff, read to your heart's content. The most important point to after these prophecies and predictions is the spiritual teaching, because that's the core of the Meyer case.
It absolutely is, which leads us into that specific topic. So when we talk, okay, so we've got this experience. We have him having these, you know, moments where he's recording and he's writing down, but he's having these face-to-face meetings with people from the Pleiades, and they're here physically talking to him, and he's recording all of this information that they're sharing with him. And then we have a kind of a spirituality that comes out of it, Michael, or is it something that they taught him?
It's actually both, because here, let me give you the other shoe on this. You know, it will annoy some people, and it's nothing to be believed, but just since we're going to discuss it, according to the information in this case, and I like to use that as a caveat, reincarnation is a fact of life. Now, we either believe it or we don't believe it on Earth. We cannot prove it yet, because we don't know, as the Pleiaren and Meyer claim to know, that there really is such a thing called the human spirit, separate from what we currently called the soul, that the human spirit is immortal, that it is the reincarnating aspect of a human being. We are never the same person or personality, but the spirit reincarnates millions of times in the course of evolution. Meyer's spirit, or spirit form, as they sometimes call it, is said to be extremely beyond ancient, and it has incarnated previously as six other specific prophets, all of whom also had extraterrestrial human mentors, and the mission was always the same. It just always got corrupted by the humans around these prophets who turned the teaching into religion. The teaching is the same eternal teaching that is supposed to be the essentially that which this universe, creation as they call it, holds as its teaching, as its laws of creation. And it has to do with beliefs. It is not a religion. There's no ritual. There's no fear, guilt, punishment, damnation, superstitions, saints, gods, gurus, angels, masters. It is a teaching of complete self-responsibility and consciousness and spirit. And those things are interwoven with each other.
I'm looking on your website, theyfly.com, and I'm reading an interesting conversation between Billy and his Pleiadian contact. Why don't you tell us a little bit about her? It was a female, correct, and she had a name, and she was somebody that came to him regularly. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Sure. May I just ask you, what are you reading, so I'll know which one, because he's had a number of different people.
Oh, yeah, I had picked the one, why do they not openly show themselves to Earth, to the rest of humanity? Why are they so, well, that's the question on the website, and it says to read Contact 3. But I'm sure people would want to know, well, why are they, you know, why do they only manifest in front of certain people? You know, we have people like Dr. Stephen Greer doing great work. We have other people all over the UFO industry, I like how you put it, that, you know, doing their thing and talking about these different things. And that is a common question that I find across the board. Well, how come we don't have physical manifestation of an actual body in front of us, like if I reached out and, you know, touched your arm?
Sure. Well, because actually part of what they're trying to do is, there's a number of these, after this answer, they're trying to get us away from deifying other human beings. The gods of our history were human beings. They were not the creators of the universe. That's tied into this. We can't avoid that whole very important part. They also say, look, because of our millennia of turning our personal power over to those that are more powerful than we have disempowered ourselves, and that by appearing, first of all, they would scare an awful lot of people who are still of a primitive mindset, and that doesn't only mean people who are quote-unquote primitive. They would just terrify a lot of people if this was inflicted. You see, certainly if it's true that these people exist and they've been visiting with Billy Meyer, well, they could prove that in 5 minutes, not take 71 years. So it's a deliberate teaching for us to work our way through logic and reason and testing intellectually and discussing, not having something forced on us. And it's too easy to trick people as well. You know, photographs have been argued, even though Meyer took some photos, they got falsified, then he's, you know, a target for, oh, well, these aren't really extraterrestrials. You can't prove the case as well through physical evidence as you can through thinking, and that is where we're most deficient. Now, people can say, well, I don't like that answer. Well, you don't have to like the answer. If I tell you that I can show you, or you can see for yourself, I've got pages of the stuff where we show the copyright dates, and we've got on my blog one article after another. Here's what Meyer published. Here's our new discovery. Sometimes they use the exact same words Meyer did. You know, think, folks, how is this so-called simple, uneducated man living in the boonies, one arm, publishing stuff verifiably decades before we discovered? Why? And why is he never the person who points it out? It's left to people like me and others who go, hey, gosh, do you see what's in this material? And I start running around pointing it out to people. So, sure, we would like it to have it the way we want it. But we're in such deep stuff because we are too concerned with what we want and the way we want it, rather than paying attention to what is and the laws of cause and effect that we have violated, thereby putting ourselves in this deep, almost inescapable hole with our environment, the truth of which is not even touched on by the environmentalists, not even close. So that might sound a bit bleak, and I don't mean to, but it is just, we cannot make demands now on others. These people don't need us. They're not here to fulfill our demands. We must take care of ourselves and figure it out. If somebody says, listen, I don't believe this, it isn't for me, I say, fine. If you looked at it, you concluded that it doesn't resonate for you, you're not going to be punished. You know, I'm like, go join a religion. You don't believe what this book says is true because the book says it's true?
Okay, here's a question for you, Michael. Sure. I want to interrupt you for a second. Okay, so
please,
we have people like Robert Bouval, who created the Orion Theory. We have other people who have discovered ancient sites aligned with different constellations. We have Sirius. We have, you know, a wide variety of different applications in both ancient and modern structures, such as,
right.
You know, different things. So, you know, Why? Now, this is something that I've been toying with and getting ready for the show and talking with you tonight, is the idea that when people associate, you know, things with certain constellations, they're actually maybe, you know, more drawn to Orion versus Sirius, or they're drawn to Sirius and the likely myths, modern and ancient, that associate with those star systems. The Pleiades, though, however, have an entirely fascinating, independent history that a lot of people don't know about, don't talk about. We have evidence of the Pleiades in Egypt, in a variety of different temples, especially Dendera, the Temple of Hathor. There's a star clock there in the temple that celebrates the Pleiades, and it marks the greater center in which the solar system revolves, something like 25,000 years to complete one cycle, something in there. And so we have, do you believe that perhaps certain people are just drawn to different star consciousness related to different stars, where sources, you know, their source, their soul comes from that direction, if you will. And then when they manifest here, they're kind of, you know, maybe drawn to different teachings for different reasons, different things, different aspects, different way of interacting, because perhaps on some level, conscious or not, they're drawn back to their beginnings.
Well, I think there's yes and no to everything you're saying there, and you hit on a lot of really good stuff. Let's put the demystifying aspect of the Meyer perspective. Meyer's information, there's something called Contact 251, freely available on my website, Contact 251, and it gives the history of our human race, as it is now currently on Earth, going back 22 million years plus to the Sirius star system, and before that, to the Lyra star system, constellation, the Vega system, with human beings that, you know, were space-traveling warriors millions and tens of millions of years ago. But the real history, if I may use those terms, presented by Meyer, it's not a New Age wet dream, pardon my terms. It is a very blood and guts, realistic, if you will, three-dimensional evolution of consciousness, technology, spirituality, power, abuse of power, that has gone on in our universe unbeknownst to most of us. Many of us on Earth may well have originated, spirits, not our souls, the soul dies after each incarnation, our spirits may well have originated with either the or the Syrian civilizations, and also incarnated either on the planet formerly as Melona or Maldek or Phaeton, which now forms the asteroid belt after those people blew themselves up, or may have been people who did incarnate for a time on Mars when this expedition from the Syrian star system millions of years ago came in this direction. And then Mars, of course, was thrown into cataclysm. Those spirit forms migrated to Earth. The Orion system is the origin of some people who were instrumental in helping to build the pyramids in Egypt, hence the configuration that looks like the three stars of Orion's belt when viewed from above, pyramids exist all over the world. Many are now being found or have found some, been found subsequently. The Sphinx was built to face and commemorate the constellation of Leo. The original pyramids were built over 72 or 73 million years ago, renovated 10, 12,000 years. This is the thing I'm pulling the string on, this history. It would serve us, I think, this is only my position, if we got away from any concern about where we originated so much as to, now that we're here and we've got this mess, and you know, we're just human beings, as they were in the Sirian star system, Lyra, you name it. We need to wake up and get out of the mire, no pun intended, M-I-R-E, of religious delusion, which can only mean New Age religious delusion, political mumbo-jumbo, etc. So I'm shotgunning a lot of stuff. I'm going to stop, but I want people to know that this
you
is...
You don't have to stop.
Oh, okay. A lot about our origins. There's so much in here about the extraterrestrial, the negative group that was based under the pyramids in Egypt until 1979 or so. When they finally got removed by the Pleiaran people, they were behind the formation of many of our religions for the purpose of controlling people. Meyer has published over 26,000 pages. There's only about 5,000 pages in English, all told. Can you imagine what we could learn if we could get more, you know, people to translate this stuff? It's mind-boggling.
Okay, Hillary. So we have this man who's still alive, yes?
Yes.
He's still here on this planet, and he's still communicating with them. Is he still writing?
Oh, yes, all the time. He's written
okay.
over 50 books
so
already.
We have this man who is spent his whole life, basically, since he was 5 years old, having this experience, writing this material. You know, it just boggles the mind that we aren't, you know, he's already proven, like you've said, how he's been able to communicate events, foretelling the future, basically, saying what's going to happen. You're tracking it. You're documenting it, you're sharing it, you're following the decoding of what he's saying, and you're finding the material, which is great. You're, in a way, you're a guardian for him. And, you know, we have this constellation that's floating around, you know, in different aspects of history. And I'd like to also mention that the Nebra Sky Disc, which features the Pleiadian constellation, is being recommended by the Heritage. It's a documentary that's been submitted by Germany and recommended for the inclusion in the Memory of the World Register in 2013. You can find that link. You can go to unesco.org, and you can read the article for yourself, which I find absolutely fascinating, by the way, and I found that today and getting ready to talk to you tonight as well. So anyway, we have this phenomenal thing happening, and we have a plethora of people who can professionally come in and debunk. And you'd be amazed at how many emails I got, people saying, "Oh, mm-hmm. this is I can't believe you're having him on the show. This is mm-hmm. here's this link, proving that he's this and that." And mm-hmm. I didn't care because I've had my own experiences, my own synchronistic experiences with the Billy Meyer material. It's led me to Marcel Vogel, as I was explaining in the introduction.
Yes.
Before I think we got you on, and I have had my own experience, so it doesn't matter what anybody else sends me, because it's already in my own experience, which as Billy has, you know, obviously shared with us, it's that experience that creates this phenomena, and then people can either choose to be a part of it or not. And when you say primitive mindset, I like that, because it's people who still have a lot of doubt, fear, anger, unresolved emotional issues and energies, and tons of stuff that just kind of keep them weighted down and away from it for whatever reason. And it's not a judgment. It's just a fact in the spiritual development of people, you know. What about the star maps? You know, I mentioned the Nebra Sky Disc. We have a variety of different ancient artifacts. In fact, we also had a very interesting find happened in Temple Mount. There was an artifact dug up last week with a potential star map of the Pleiades. And it's a very interesting concept. It's a gold treasure. treasure unearthed at the base of the Temple Mount. And you can go to timesofisrael.com, and you can find the article right there. There's been some researchers who have broken it down to symbolize, basically, the Pleiadian star map. What do you feel about these star maps that people find in these artifacts that show us kind of the way to the Pleiades? Does Billy recognize these star maps? Do you? Well, how does that work?
You know, they could be, let's put it this way. We really have to say, ultimately, if we have limited time, and I think if we're realists, we say we have limited time to accomplish certain things. We can see these artifacts. We can go, okay, fine. These people recognize the Pleiades. Maybe there were people here, because these people coming from that direction have come and gone, as you pointed out. You know, history has records of this. But they were just more advanced people. In some cases, they really messed stuff up here, or the other extraterrestrials did when they toyed with people and lorded over them as if they were the creators of the universe and all life. So we can say, good, artifacts, but what's the goal? I'm a bit goal-oriented with it at this time. For all the people that wrote you and said, oh, how can you have Meyer on? I guarantee you, they believe in lots of stuff that simply will not bear scrutiny. They may even think that they think this UFO case is real or that contactee, and none of these people have any actual evidence. Now, you can believe what you want. Star maps, great, fine, okay, people came from the Pleiades, and here's a map. When you look, read this, the history of humanity, in a number of articles, a number of places, when you start going through, oh my gosh, this isn't really light beings drifting about and magical little things and spirit guides. And I'm deliberately being a bit sarcastic and not to be offensive, Hillary. We have limited time. Those people that are resonating with what you and others and I hopefully are talking about are doing so because they want to make a difference. They want to, others to also acknowledge, hey, we're not alone in the universe. Our origins are other than we've been told and taught. Okay, fine. But that and $4.65 gets you, you know, overpriced cup of coffee. What are we going to do? Can we get to the meaning of all this? And this is what I'm zeroing in on. When you go to the spiritual teaching section on the website, and again, it's free. You know, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm glad to, but you don't need it. You can go right in and start contemplating this stuff, right? This is about 24/7 self-observation of our thoughts, of the feelings that arise, of the next impulse that leads us to action, the laws of cause and effect. How does what we think, feel, and then act bring forward in our life moment by moment that which we are creating? We're going past the secret and other positive thinking things here. We're going to a level of self-responsibility that has us really recognizing where we are, what's going on, and how we have the opportunity
So if you have to, you know, this, and it's a fantastic message, and I think it's really important for people to pay attention to what you just said, because this is a larger picture. It is a bigger picture. I think oftentimes in the UFO industry, we get caught up on specifics and little nitpicky kind of things, and we often forget to add the big message, the bigger picture, which you just did so elegantly. Thank you very much. And, you know, and as we're navigating, you know, how many people get into the UFO industry? I just love that. The UFO industry, and they go through the books, and they go through this, and they follow this person and listen to them for a while. Then they go over here and attend a conference, and then they listen to a radio show. A lot of it conflicts. A lot of the researchers put each other down. A lot of them say so-and-so is a disinformationalist, this and that, and all this other stuff happens. Oh, they're out to get me, oh, this and that. Where does the insanity kind of just part like the clouds in the sky, and people are able to really get what they're searching for? Because I think what happens a lot of time is people go into this subculture, this topic, and they get bombarded with all this, and they go, ah, and they run away as fast as they can and say, no, forget that, that's not for me. Or they just get so caught up in the distraction or the negativity. What is your recommendation to people who are perhaps either finding this kind of stuff for the first time, or maybe they're seasoned explorers and they've been able to go through everything and they know everything? What do we do with so much information?
Okay. Well, I'm going to just throw in a real quick thing, because I told you about that MUFON experience. What preceded that is when Buddy and I walked into that MUFON event, we encountered the new director for MUFON. A couple of words exchanged. Hi, how are you? I represent the Meyer case. Hey, oh, yeah, yeah. And so I said to him, what do you think about the Meyer case? And he literally said to me, we know that it's true. It's just that it's too good. In other words, UFO industry is exactly what I'm talking about. People get caught up, oh, goody, I can be a field investigator for MUFON and chase lights in the sky. If extraterrestrials are really here flying around in their little ships, there's got to be a reason. I maintain, to address your question, the reason is contained in the information in the Meyer case and in the teaching. It is not flashy. It's very down-to-earth. Meyer is about the most down-to-earth guy you'll ever meet. This man knows more about the earth and biology and growing plants and just an amazing jeans, plaid shirt, you know, down-to-earth man who maybe an hour before I'm sitting in his office, either one of the ETs is sitting there or he's in a shift with them. He doesn't care about UFOs. He's been in them since he's 5 years old. If we're in this community, we must, if we want to progress, we have to evolve spirally upward. We can't keep chasing our tail with dead-end Roswell, UFOs, I'm an experiencer. At the end of the day, folks, what do you have that has challenged your consciousness and caused you to grow and to be challenged a little bit? This is what it's about. It's a teaching. Now, there are good teachings out there. This one, as far as I'm concerned, after reading and studying a lot of stuff, Meyer nails things that I'd never thought about, things about consciousness. We have no idea of the actual components of the human being, mind, consciousness, subconscious, unconscious. We just don't have words for it. It means excite yourself with some knowledge and practical application in your life. UFOs are the least important thing you can pay attention to. Extraterrestrials, you're never going to meet any for hundreds of years. Forget it. They're just human beings anyhow. And in the past, they've screwed stuff up, and they still occasionally make mistakes that they have to correct. They're no better than you are. They're just more advanced, but not perfect. That means it's up to you and me to grow, to take charge of this mess, and not throw stuff at corporations, not blanket scream about GMO, because not all GMO is bad, just the bad GMO. We have to start discerning and thinking. Honestly, this is the evolutionary challenge for those of us who already get that there's something far greater than all of the games that people get lost with, figuratively, literally, online, in their heads, or any other way.
Very true. So when people experience this kind of, tapping in or whatever, you know, maybe they're not experiencing it the same exact way that Billy Meyer experiences it, but maybe they still not. Start to kind of tap into this prophetic type of space where that, you know, things come through however they come through. And I don't want to mess with labels because I think that confuses people, but it just comes through in whatever way it comes through, whether it's through synchronicity or, you know, whatever. And we have a kind of where people write that down and then they start to see it manifest out into the events in the world. They see the headlines light up. Oh my gosh, I just wrote that down like yesterday. And they go down that kind of rabbit hole, you know, where they start to, you know, what is this? You know, oh my gosh, when I start thinking something, it comes true. That kind of stuff. So are we talking about a phenomena that perhaps the Pleiadians are helping us with in that sense? Or is it perhaps a phenomena of consciousness where, what, you know, Billy's experiencing it, so therefore we all have the opportunity to kind of tap in because once one of us makes it, we all make it kind of thing. How do you see that? Do you see it that way? Or what do you think about that?
I don't mean to be the guy that throws cold water, but frankly, it's unimportant if we have prophetic visions for this reason. I'm not talking about that it's unimportant that our consciousness evolves. The prophecies given in the Meyer case, and I have pages of them freely available on the site, we have to also understand that in addition to the work that Meyer started to publish when he was as young as 14, that things like the so-called Henoch prophecies or the prophecies of Elijah and Jeremiah, those are thousands of years old and they've been in the keeping of the Pleiaron. He's presenting them. But what's the purpose of the prophecies? And this is why I'm addressing, well, if those of us start having prophecies, let's not get too concerned. The prophecies in this case that are coming true and are showing us what's going on are severe enough that what we should do is learn the message here. That is, here, folks, this is happening because of our thinking has been so bad for so long. Are we ready? Are we ready to start taking some advice, to just look at what they're recommending that we do once we get that the prophecies are correct? Now, if we start applying their technologies of meditation, contemplation, and believe me, it's loaded with that, and we start experiencing other levels of awareness, fine. But this is not about phenomenon. This is not about having euphoric experiences. They are very much against it. They say, you might have all sorts of, you know, you're meditating and you're seeing lights and colors. Dismiss it. It's not important. Calm yourself down. Get to a place of neutrality. This is a difficult thing for a lot of people to understand because we want phenomena. We want something to lift us out of this mundane morass that we're in a world that's largely populated by unconscious beings who are no worse or no better than we are as human beings, but who, you know, don't get the same things we do and are contributing more to the mess than we are. Don't worry about becoming a prophet. We don't need any more prophets. If we read these prophecies and predictions and go, oh, gee, okay, I guess it's time to clean this up, then it is the individual consciousness. We have a film, a complete film, freely available on my website called The Silent Revolution of Truth. Click on it. Sit through the commercials if you must, but I don't, you know, it's not my fault. So you watch it, and the first thing that Billy Meyer says is, the meaning of life is the evolution of consciousness. Oh, wow, what does that mean? Start finding out. For instance, with the DVDs that I've done and the films, I have a whole workshop on what I called originally standing in spirit or the consciousness awareness. That's all about this process that I came up with independently on my own. I sent a DVD to Meyer and said, look, hey, I do this thing that I've taught since like 1990. If this isn't compatible with the spiritual teaching, I'll just have it somewhere else. He said, no, do that, teach that, show that. That's one of the ways people can learn to start monitoring their thoughts and their feelings and taking conscious responsibility. It's nuts and bolts work that we must do with consciousness. Don't worry about being a prophet, an experiencer, all that stuff. That's still too much, a little too euphoric and paranormal. These are real, you know, third-dimensional people. There's nothing the matter with matter. You know, we're in it, folks, and we won't be in our leg bodies for millions of years, and the planet is not ascending. We're not ascending. Heck, take a look at what's happening. A lot of stuff is descending. Let's try and pull it out of the gutter and the drain, you know? So I'm a hardcore realist with this. So, you know, there you go. I don't mean to be harsh, but...
No, I love it. Be harsh. I think we need it. It's self-reliance and harsh. We need to hear it. We need to understand this stuff. And I wouldn't have you on here, Michael, if I didn't look through your stuff and support it in some kind of way. And I wouldn't be talking about this information. You know, it's something that affects me personally. I'm drawn to it. I can appreciate it. I can tone out the other stuff and just keep going and looking for what's there, and I think people can do that. And when you talk about neutrality and not getting caught up in the phenomena and the the purpley colors, it's like the spider going back to the center of its web. It's like finding the vibrations and running out and taking care of business and coming right back to the center and waiting in that space of listening or feeling for something to move. And I believe strongly that that's one of the common themes throughout many different modalities and many different religions and many different things, is that trying to experience that centeredness where we can hear or, you know, see or whatever it is that comes to us in that space individually, and it's a personal spirituality that I find in Billy Meyer's case, because he's talking about things that actually have you know, you can relate to in your own life. You can follow along the different prophecies from thousands of years ago, which he reintroduces, and it's quite fascinating, actually. And so, you know, I for listeners who are listening to this, and you know, they're digesting all of it and they're integrating it into their being, and they're wondering what's going on, and or maybe they're just straight up fascinated. You know, you really, in fact, as you were talking, I printed out Contact 251. It's okay. 92 pages. I didn't realize it was so long. I thought there was something wrong with my printer, and I was trying to very coherently, you know, just kind of go over there and fix it. But anyway, it's important to go through this and to keep it in mind to look for what's in it for you, don't you think? Because there's messages in these things that I believe are multidimensional, and as they're coming through or being told to Billy, and as you and I read them or other people read them out there, there's going to be a ripple effect that happens. So don't you think that when people read these things, they're going to find things that go click, and then it's going to lead into a string of other things, yes?
Absolutely, and you're hearing so many things. Look, there are things that are paradoxical and ironic. We will have a personal experience with information, and yet what they teach is called neutral positive thinking, and they maintain that this universe itself is neutral towards us as its creations. It has laid out these laws of operation and given of itself for us to experiment, to make mistakes with, to learn by. There's no personal interest. This is a hard thing many of us understand, but it is the thing you spoke about. When we personally connect and something goes, aha, I'm attracted to this kind of thought, I'm attracted to this, something about this I want to process in myself more. Meyer, in that same film I mentioned to you, talks about the snowball effect. You hit it on it too. This is going to grow slowly. It is the most suppressed story you can imagine. Look at this. If this is true, why isn't it everybody in the world know about it? Through the media, the intelligence services, religions, this has been actively suppressed since Meyer first went public. It's too dangerous. This guy